Okay. This is Brother Peter Diamond on the phone here with William, and this is going to be a follow-up debate. We actually had a debate with William, which you can hear on our website, on the issue of whether the post-Vatican II claimants to the papacy are true popes. And William had wanted to debate us again, but we wanted to debate some different individuals. But William had written us an email saying that our statements about Vatican II's teaching on non-Catholics being able to receive Holy Communion, we had said that this is an example of a false and heretical teaching of Vatican II. He disagreed with that, and so he agreed to have a little informal debate discussion here about that topic. And so maybe you could begin by saying why you think that our statement that Vatican II's teaching in Orientalium Ecclesiarum number 27, where it says that non-Catholics may lawfully receive Holy Communion, we say that that's heretical. You say it's not.
Well, I was referring to, and I, you know, again, I had simply, Ezra, I had listened to your conversation with the gentleman from Chicago, which I was kind of amazed at that you, you know, wouldn't have me on, but you have him on. But anyway, that's another issue. During the discussion, you had said that in number 27 of Orientalium Ecclesiarum, that the church allowed, or the Catholic Church allowed, non-Catholics to receive communion. And referring to Eastern Christians, if you read it in context, if you read two numbers up in 25, it talks about the Christian who, obviously we know Eastern Orthodox has valid sacraments, believes in almost all the doctrines of the Catholic faith. And it says quite clearly that once they make a profession of faith, nothing else is needed. So they would, the Eastern Orthodox person is separated from the Catholic Church. Once he comes and makes a profession of faith, he would have to certainly accept the papacy, certainly accept the Assumption of Mary, certainly accept all the doctrines of the faith.
Well, let me just ask you. So you're saying that Orientalium Ecclesiarum number 27 does not allow non-Catholics to receive Holy Communion. Your argument, if I understand this correctly, is that it's only talking about people who have been converted.
Well, yeah, and they may have been converted right at that moment.
Okay, can I respond to that?
That's why it says, sure.
Okay.
That's why, but let me just say this real quick. That's why it says they have to be properly disposed. And 25 simply says, under the guidance of the grace of the Holy Spirit, join himself to the unity of Catholics. No more should be required of him than would a bare profession of the Catholic faith demand.
Okay, let me respond to that. That's a completely false argument. First of all, because number 25, which you're referring to, is dealing with a separate issue. It's talking about how a separated Eastern schismatic, which it calls a Christian, should be reconciled or whatever. It says nothing more should be required of him than a bare profession of faith. Then, in number 26, it starts to switch topics again. It starts to talk about common participation in worship between members of Eastern separated churches and the Catholic Church. And then in number 27, it goes on to teach that, and I'll quote it here, just want to get the actual quote, it says, given the above-mentioned principles, the sacraments of penance, Holy Eucharist, and the anointing of sick may be conferred on Eastern Christians who in good faith are separated from the Catholic Church. If they make the request of their own accord and are properly disposed, if it were talking about converts, it would never say those who are separated from the Catholic Church. That's very self-evident. It's talking about people who are still not converted. Otherwise, the whole thing would be meaningless.
All right, well, then we have a disagreement because the statement in 27 that you're quoting is completely saying that. Now, remember, in 25, if we can read 25 again, it says, the separated Eastern Christian, it still refers to them as that, even though they're coming to the priest and make the confession of faith. They're still saying, it doesn't say, okay, now they're Catholics. But it still refers to them, any separated Eastern Christian should, this is 25, under the guidance of the grace of the Holy Spirit, join himself to the unity of Catholics. Now, it doesn't say, okay, now he's not an Eastern Christian anymore. It presupposes that you'll realize that. That's why in 27...
Hello? Okay.
That's why in verse 20, in number 27, I had a beep there, in 27 it says properly disposed.
Right, and properly disposed, according to the Vatican II Church, simply means believing in those sacraments. And see, this is what you're saying is totally false, and that's proven here. If you look at the 1983 Code of Canon Law, mm-hmm. Canons 844.3 and 4, okay,
right here, yeah.
They say, like in number 3, Catholic ministers may licitly administer the sacraments of penance, Eucharist, and anointing of sick to members of the Oriental churches which do not have full communion with the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. if they ask on their own for the sacraments and are properly disposed. And it goes on in number 4 to explain what that means, and it says that they must manifest Catholic faith in these sacraments. So according to the Vatican II sect, yeah, all it's requiring is that they believe in the Eucharist and the sacraments they're receiving. They can reject the papacy. That's why it says
right.
people
well,
who are...
But you're adding that. It doesn't say that's all they have to believe. What it says is they certainly have to believe that, provided they manifest Catholic faith in these sacraments and are properly disposed.
Right, and it's talking about...
Okay, well, we have a fundamental...
It's talking about members, people who do not have full communion.
Well, brother...
You're arguing that it would describe members of the Catholic Church as people who do not have full communion. Do you see how ridiculous that is?
Well, when they... Well, okay.
You have to admit that's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous, because in Vatican II, in number 25, and I'm just piggybacking on canon law here, because they both use the same terms, properly disposed, it says, listen, if any separated Eastern Christian should, under the guidance of the grace of the Holy Spirit, join himself to the unity of Catholics. Now, it doesn't go back and say, now he's no longer an Eastern Christian. No more should be required of him than what a bare profession of the faith demands.
Yeah, again, that's a completely irrelevant argument, because you're talking about point 25 of Orientalium Ecclesiarum, which is dealing with a separate issue from point number 26 and 27. Point number 25 is simply saying that if one of these individuals should come over, this is what you do. Point number 26 and number 27 proceed, and they go on to say, referring to people who are still not converted, who are still outside of full communion.
Well, it doesn't say that.
Yes, it does. That's why.
Still not.
Well, that's why it says not in full communion.
Now, we have an example in 25 where it says, if any separated Eastern Christian should come and make the profession of faith. Vatican II doesn't now come back and say, but they're Catholic. It just merely says they're required to make a confession of faith. Now, even in canon law, it says they must be properly disposed. Well, what does that mean? It must mean something separate from just believing in the sacraments. Okay?
No.
It must mean, or else it would be redundant.
Here's the thing. What we know that it does not mean is acceptance of the full Catholic faith. We know for a fact that it does not mean that, because it describes these individuals as people who do not hold full communion with the Catholic Church. So we know
now,
for a fact,
yes,
and that is heresy.
No.
Yes, it is.
When it comes, it would be if it was saying what you're saying, but it's not saying that.
But let me just make one thing clear: that your whole argument, okay, is completely false, because you're saying that point 25, okay, which is talking about a separate topic, it's talking about if one of these individuals does want to convert, he makes a bare profession of faith. Then point 27 says that if there are individuals who, quote, do not have full communion, they may receive Holy Communion.
No,
so it's two separate issues.
Listen, let's read it again. If any separated Eastern Christian should, under the guidance of the grace of the Holy Spirit, join himself to the unity of Catholics, no more should be required of him. Now, it doesn't go back and say he's now no longer an Eastern Christian, even though it's apparent in the text that he is not. Of him, then what a bare confession of the Catholic faith remains. Now, I'm going to prove my point in my opinion here. Because, now listen, if you're saying that all Vatican II and all canon law says, all they have to do, because you're saying it's heresy, because all they have to do is have faith in these sacraments. Well then, if that's true, then why would they say, what does properly disposed mean?
Properly disposed means that they stay free from obvious mortal sin. That's what they mean by it.
Well,
okay, it does not mean
it is a mortal sin.
Yeah, but they don't consider that. The Vatican II Church does not consider denying the papacy or remaining outside of full communion mortally sinful. That's why it's talking about.
Well, I disagree.
But here's the point. But here's the point. What you just quoted from 25.
Okay.
Well, you got to let me respond. You made your point. Okay.
Yeah, you won't let me ask a follow-up question here.
No, I just let you make your point. Okay, I just want to respond to it, which is that 25 of Orientalium Ecclesiarum is completely irrelevant. It has nothing to do with point 27. separate topics. So you can quote it again and again, but it's completely irrelevant.
Brother, brother.
Anybody who reads that can see that.
Why does it? Okay, here's my question. Why does canon law, which we just quoted, which I have right here, if the danger of death is present or other grave necessity in the judgment of the diocesan bishop or the conference of bishops, Catholic ministers may licitly administer these sacraments to other Christians who do not have full communion with the Catholic Church.
There you go. That's
cannot,
the key.
Hold on. Let me finish. Who cannot approach a minister of their own community and on their own ask for it, provided they manifest Catholic faith in these sacraments.
There you go.
And are properly disposed. Now, if you're saying, then what does properly disposed mean? You're saying that all they have to do, according to Vatican II, and I'm saying this is not the case, and the Code of Canon Law, all they have to do is believe in faith in those sacraments. Canon Law doesn't say that. It says they have to be properly disposed.
Right, and that does not mean... anybody who would say argue that this is talking about converted individuals, that is insane. It's saying that people...
Yeah, you know why I say I believe that?
I know why you're arguing that.
I'm not a canon lawyer, but it says at the danger, at the moment of death...
No, but let me respond to this, okay? Yes. In that canon, it says danger of death, but in canon 844.3, it doesn't. And in the new catechism, and see, there are more things I can quote here, which I'm going to...
Yeah, but they all say properly disposed.
But they all indicate that they're talking about people who do not have full communion with the Catholic Church. Okay,
well,
so they all indicate that they're talking about people who do not accept the fullness of Catholic faith.
Right.
That is heresy.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is heresy. And here's another point which totally and completely refutes what you're saying.
Go ahead.
All right? Benedict the 16th wrote in his book, let me just find it here, Pilgrim Fellowship of Faith, okay, to a schismatic metropolitan, and he's quoting these codes of canon law. This is page 232. Quote, the two codes of canon law of the Catholic Church and her ecumenical directory show that under certain conditions, admission to communion between East and West is permissible or even positively recommended. Okay? So he's talking about schismatics. He says...
Well, I don't know. I haven't read the book, and I want to read the concept.
Right.
And the bottom line, though, is that number 25 in Vatican II says...
Irrelevant.
Quite clearly. Well, then, okay, if there's a clear distinction, here's what you're saying. Let's just break it down real simple here. You're saying that Vatican II and the Code of Canon Law is saying all they have to have, according to them, is faith in these sacraments. Well, then, there must be a distinction or there's a redundancy if faith in these sacraments has to be something different than properly disposed. And in 25, it clearly says that the Eastern Christian, if they make a profession of faith because they believe in a sacrament, because they believe in baptism, because they have valid priesthood, if they make a profession of faith, they are Catholic. It doesn't say they're Catholic.
No, but
it says no more is required of them.
William,
which presupposes they're Catholic.
The properly disposed, okay, according to them, is just a general bland thing that they're free from.
You're saying that.
No, but we know.
Brother Peter, I'm sorry. You got to let me respond.
Okay.
Okay,
all right? That we know for a fact that does not mean acceptance of the full Catholic faith because it makes it totally clear that it's talking about people who, quote, do not have full communion with the Catholic Church. You do not describe converted Catholics as people who do not have full communion with the Catholic Church. That is insane.
Well, you can if, well, I don't know.
And I just proved you wrong because...
No, you didn't prove it. All right, so there's no protocol in Catholic theology of how you describe describe someone who may be in danger of death and is converting at that moment and is going to receive communion.
No, because...
And matter of fact, Vatican II itself, the Council itself, it's clear that the person who makes a profession of faith, nothing else is required. That is clear, and it still doesn't refer to them as Catholics.
William, that is pure distortion. Okay. First of all, you mentioned danger of death. The New Catechism does, paragraph 1401 says the same thing, doesn't mention anything about danger of death. Canon 844.3 mentions the same thing, that non-Catholics may receive Holy Communion, doesn't mention anything about danger of death.
All right, well, let's
all right. Vatican II, number Orientalium Ecclesiarum, number 27, says the same thing, does not mention anything about danger of death.
Well,
so,
it says properly disposed.
And even if it did mention just...
Wait a second. Properly disposed, even if they're not in danger of death, they can still receive communion, an Eastern Orthodox, if they make a profession of faith and receive the sacrament of confession.
If
they can.
If they come into full communion with the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and what would be... What would be required of that, of them? Not a Protestant who has to go through all the classes and stuff, but the Eastern Orthodox, if he professes... because he's already received valid communion, even though it's, you know, obviously illicit and all that stuff, because he has the sacrament of holy orders in his church. If he professes to be a Catholic and professes all the faith, then he's a Catholic.
Exactly. Right? And therefore, he would not be in the category of those who, quote, not hold full communion.
It
says that very clearly.
Okay. Well, let me tell you something. You're saying, here's what you're arguing. Number one, you haven't answered the question you haven't answered the question of what properly disposed means. If all that's required is that they believe in those sacraments, well, then why would it say properly disposed?
You're saying,
they mean that he's free from mortal sin. Well, it doesn't say that.
Right, and it doesn't say that they have to convert either. Let me quote 1401. This is a new catechism.
Yes.
When in the ordinary's judgment a grave necessity arises, Catholic ministers may give the sacraments of Eucharist, penance, and anointing of sick to other Christians not in full communion with the Catholic Church, who ask for them of their own will, provided they give evidence of holding the Catholic faith. What period? No. Regarding these sacraments and possess the required dispositions. Okay.
That's the thing. They come there.
That does not mean conversion to the Catholic Church.
No, what does it mean? Wait a second. What does that mean?
Require they don't explicate.
Have the proper dispensation. Have the proper belief. It does not say that this person's denying the papacy and he can receive communion.
William, it says members who... Yes, it does. It says people who do not have full communion with the Catholic Church.
Well, and
here's another point that shows what you're saying is completely absurd. And actually, anyone who would argue this is just a liar, what you're arguing. And I think anyone who hear that would have to agree with that. But in number 844.3, point 4, actually, it's talking about how if danger of death is present, Catholic ministers may administer the sacrament to other Christians who do not have full communion with the Catholic Church, who cannot approach a minister of their own community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's another indication that they're talking about people of separated.
That canon says in the danger of death.
Well, yeah, but the same principle is being taught in 844.3. It's being taught in 1401.
Yeah,
it's being taught.
Okay, and that's why it says provided. And then the last part, which you didn't read, provided they are properly disposed.
Oh boy, that does not mean acceptance of the Catholic Church.
What does properly disposed mean?
They did not explicate what that means.
Okay. You're saying all it means is earlier in the conversation, you said...
What you have to understand, William, is that heretics always do things like that. They throw in, as Pope Pius VI pointed out, he said it's a classical tactic of heretics to state things that are ambiguous so that the heretics who follow them can try to pervert them and distort them. But what is crystal clear is the fact that it's not talking about...
Here's what you do. You read the text and you say, it's crystal clear.
To any honest person, for you to argue that those who do not hold full communion with the Catholic Church, quote, is actually referring to people who are Catholic, mm-hmm. That's just totally dishonest. Here's some other points to prove it.
Okay, listen. In 25, let's go back to Vatican II. In 25, it says, those who make the profession of faith are Catholic once they're Eastern Orthodox. Do you agree with that? In 25, that's what it says? Nothing else is required of them, it says. I mean, can we agree there?
I'm saying that in Vatican II's Orientalium Ecclesiarum, number 27, it is giving it...
No, I'm asking you a question.
What's your question?
Do you agree with me that in 25, even though I know you believe it's irrelevant, that it's saying that the Eastern Christian that comes forth and says and makes a profession of faith, he is a Catholic. It says nothing else is required. I mean, we agree on that, correct?
No, it says, and I'll quote it directly, no more should be required of him than what a bare profession of the Catholic faith demands.
Yes.
Right.
That's saying right clearly right there that he, once he makes a profession of Catholic faith, nothing else is required.
It doesn't say that has anything to do with the danger of death,
and it doesn't say to receive communion. It just says
nothing else is required.
Okay, so that further proves my point about the properly disposed.
That's talking about members of Eastern schismatic sects who are converting. at number 26 and specifically number 27 is talking about a separate issue. It's talking about people who are not converted, people who do not have full communion. Two separate issues. But let me ask you this. I read you the quote from Ratzinger's book when he was head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, or claimed to be. You would agree that, if that's an accurate citation, which it is, that proves my point. Because he's writing to a leading schismatic metropolitan.
Well, it says under certain circumstances, from what I read the quote. Again, I would have to read
Right, but your position is that it's not allowing that at all. Your position is that it's not allowing non-Catholics to receive communion at all. It's talking about converted people.
What I'm saying is that, yes, they would be Catholic, but sometimes people don't talk that clearly. I don't believe the council, I think Vatican II in 25 clearly refutes your point. I think it clearly states what they're talking about properly.
That is ridiculous.
I said, no, it's not ridiculous. It's saying that the Eastern Christian who comes forth, he must profess.
Here's another point that further proves the point. John Paul II, in Ut Unum Sint, where he addresses a lot of these points, his encyclical on ecumenism, which is stuffed, jam-packed with heresy, he actually makes reference to, this is number 58, he's talking about the, quote, Orthodox Church. He says, number 58, by reason of the very close sacramental bonds between the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church has often adopted and now adopts a milder policy, offering to all the means of salvation through participation in the sacraments and in other sacred functions. And he goes on to say, there must never be a loss of appreciation for the ecclesiological implication of sharing in the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist. So John Paul II, proving you completely wrong, quotes, he's making reference to all these things, and he says that there is sharing in the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist, with the Orthodox.
Right.
There you go.
Well, I don't know. Number one, it doesn't say. I'd have to look at the quote. That's one. And two,
it says,
but from the way I read that quote, I don't know if he's talking about adoration of it. I don't know if he's saying, he doesn't say receiving the Eucharist in an ordinary way.
Here's another quote. General Audience, August 9th, 1995, John Paul II. Concerning aspects of intercommunion, the recent ecumenical directory confirms and states precisely all that the Council said. That is, that a certain intercommunion is possible since the Eastern churches possess true sacraments. And he goes on to say, Catholic ministers may illicitly administer the sacraments of penance, the Eucharist, and the anointing of sick to the Eastern Christians who ask for them. And he's talking about Orthodox.
Right.
They're proving my point again.
In certain circumstances.
It doesn't matter, but your position here is that it's not allowing it at all.
Well,
see, now you're contradicting
yourself.
My
position is that some of the language in a general audience or something like that is, sometimes ambiguous, but I think it's very clear from Vatican II and the Code of Canon Law that talks about how we're properly disposed. Now, no one's arguing that, we wish in the modern-day church that sometimes we would like church documents to be a little clearer, but it's very clear from Vatican II and 25, and even there, it's clear that the person's considered a Catholic, but he's not referred to as a Catholic in context there.
Let me ask you this.
So when you keep saying, well, look, it's talking about an Eastern Orthodox Christian, you just admitted earlier in the conversation that in 25, it's talking about someone that does convert.
Right. And then
it doesn't go back and say, well, now he's...
And 25 is not what I'm quoting. I'm quoting 27. Two separate topics. Okay.
Yeah, and it says, okay, do you agree with this then? Listen, in the context it says they have to have faith in these sacraments, and even the canon law says that, and it also says they have to be properly disposed. Do you believe there must be a distinction there, or you just believe these people just put that in there just so they can argue out of being heretics?
If your question is, do I believe by the phrase properly disposed, do they mean accepting the Catholic faith? Is
I
that
didn't
your,
ask that.
What's your question?
What I asked you was, do you believe there's a difference there? Properly disposed and having faith in those sacraments. I think that's really the crux.
There's probably a minor difference.
Well.
Yes, I believe that the properly disposed refers to basically a general way they approach the moral life. That basically don't want to give the impression that they're allowing people who are going out fornicating and all of this, that they must have some sort of regard for the general moral life. Okay, but it's certainly not saying that they have to accept the papal dogmas, and that's heresy. Okay,
and
but let me ask you this. You asked me a question. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that it's an error to describe someone who is Catholic as not in full communion with the Catholic Church?
Yes.
Okay, well then you have to admit Vatican II taught error.
No. Okay, but you admitted, this is what I just said earlier. In 25, I know you're quoting 27, but at 25, I keep quoting that because it gives us an idea of the language that they're using. In 25, it talks about a separated Eastern Christian that comes forth and makes a confession of Catholic faith, but it still refers to him as the Eastern Christian, even though it's clear from the
But it doesn't refer to him as not in full communion with the Catholic Church.
No, but
so your argument falls to the ground. It does not refer to him as not in full communion with the Catholic. That is idiocy. And so you're admitting there's no way around it, William. If you're going to say that the people in number 27 are converted Catholics, then you have to admit that's an error in describing them. It says not in full communion with the Catholic Church. How clear does it have to be?
No. It says, when they come forward, it says someone that comes forward and asks and is not in full communion, provided they are properly disposed, can receive these. I mean, think about how dumb that would be. And I'm not calling you dumb, I'm just saying. How would the priest know, how would the priest or the bishop know who the heck's properly disposed if he went out and fornicated, if he went out and did this? Obviously, properly disposed, like it says in Vatican II, means a profession of the Catholic faith.
No, it doesn't. That's why it says in all these texts, New Catechism, 1401, Catholic faith in these sacraments. Okay, if it were talking about what you were, it could have easily and would have said they accept all the teachings of the Catholic faith and change their belief on their rejection of the papacy. No, it says that they must have Catholic faith in these sacraments. That is so obvious.
Okay, wait. Here's you're saying that I'm stupid or my argument.
I'm saying you're a liar. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, fine. I'm not going to, call you a liar. I don't know. I can't read your heart. But anyway, you're saying that properly disposed means, they have to have a good moral conduct. They have to have, they shouldn't be out fornicating or getting drunk and starting bar fights or whatever. Now, how would the priest know that to make a decision on that? He would know. It would make more sense if he's properly disposed if he made a profession of faith.
Here's another thing for you.
I'm asking you. How would the priest know about his personal life?
That the canon is legislating on how to deal with people who do not have full communion with the Catholic Church.
Therefore, that
presupposes that the priest has some sort of knowledge or familiarity of the religious affiliation of the person he's approaching. Okay, so the canon would be meaningless. Of course, if it's talking about how you should look at giving the sacraments to people who do not have full communion with the Catholic Church, that presupposes that you recognize who you're dealing with. Okay, so how a particular priest would recognize someone in a large church, that's irrelevant to the issue.
No, you stated earlier that, I asked you, what's the difference between the faith in the sacraments and when the text says he's properly disposed? And you said, I do believe there's a difference. I believe it's his moral life and da-da-da. And I'm saying that it's professional faith, because that's the context, in my opinion, of what the council is saying. And my question to you is, how would the priest know that he's living a decent moral life to make that judgment? I mean, it's clearly saying that the priest has to make the judgment whether they give this individual communion.
It's legislating on what the priest and the individual should know about this, so that what the priest should tell people, what the Vatican II priest who wants to follow the new code of canon law is supposed to inform and preach is that, yes, I can give the Holy Communion to Eastern schismatics if they are properly disposed, morally speaking, even though they don't hold full communion with the Catholic Church. That's the legislation. But here's another point. Let me quote this. This is from the Directory for the Application of the Principles and Norms of Ecumenism, promulgated by John Paul II. Okay, Ratzinger was also involved and aware of this, and actually made reference to it in that quote I gave you. Number 125, quote, same thing. Quote, Catholic ministers may lawfully administer the sacraments of penance, Eucharist, and the anointing of the sick to members of the Eastern churches who ask for these sacraments and are properly disposed. In number 122, it's clear it's talking about Orthodox schismatics, because the next sentence is this. In these particular cases also, Due consideration should be given to the discipline of Eastern churches for their own faithful, and any suggestion of proselytism should be avoided. So in number 125, totally blowing what you're saying out of the water, right after, let me just finish this, right after quoting, saying the same thing, that Catholic ministers may give communion to these people, it says, in the process, any suggestion of proselytism, trying to convert them, should be avoided.
Well, again, it mentions, your first quote mentions again. Again, we've had a difference between a properly disposed. You just mentioned it. It says properly.
Well, what do you have to say what I just brought up?
Well, I mean, proselytism is different than evangelization.
No, but William, do you see how that your argument doesn't add up?
Your proselytism is not evangelization.
Yes, it is. Proselytize is to convert.
Well, there's clear distinctions within a lot of people's minds anyway. That's what it means. Proselytization that I've heard people, you know, talk about, what they object to, is, you know, a harshness in your approach. It certainly does not say that. I mean, think about this. If JP2 wanted them to be in full communion, then it wouldn't matter about a danger of death. It wouldn't matter about anything like that. There would be no exception.
But even, let's say it did mean harshness in the tactics of conversion. That would still be irrelevant, still prove my point. Because the very fact that proselytism is mentioned in that very context.
Well, I'm not saying that's the...
Well, let me finish. The very fact that proselytism is...
If it said conversion or evangelization, I might agree with you. But, again, we have a... You're saying this. See, here's your argument. You're saying that properly disposed doesn't mean anything except, you know,
it doesn't mean conversion to the Catholic faith. We know that. We know that for a fact because it's talking about people who, quote, do not have full communion.
The whole context, remember,
here's another point. Here's another point for you. The Code of Canon Law, okay, the commentary, which you can get by Corydon Green, Heinschnell, the big red one. I don't know if you have that volume.
You have the 83 code?
Yeah, the 83 code.
Right,
the commentators say about this canon, which is a result of Vatican II's deliberations on ecumenism. So it's talking about it's ecumenism with non-Catholic sex, proving that it's talking about non-Catholic sex, replaces Canon 731, number 2 of the former 1917 code.
Right.
That canon contained an absolute prohibition of sacramental ministrations to heretics or schismatics. All right, so it's proving that there's a total change here. Even the very commentators who accept your heretical code, they're admitting this. They're admitting that this is
a new
teaching.
I just believe that the language is different. I believe they're saying that the properly disposed, they're not saying that someone who comes to communion on their deathbed and can't go to an Eastern Orthodox priest that's denying the Catholic faith can receive communion. That's why the phrase in there is properly disposed. And it's clear from the Vatican II's teaching in 25 that a profession of faith must be made. That's all that's required because the Eastern Orthodox.
You can look it up in number 1401 of the New Catechism, which teaches the same thing, and in number canon 844.4, it says Catholic faith, provided they manifest Catholic faith in these sacraments.
And are properly disposed.
Okay, and so if it were talking about what you're talking about, it would never say that.
Why does it say properly disposed?
As I explained, because it's giving a general sense of moral uprightness. Okay, that's what it's saying.
Clear.
But it's very clear to anyone who's honest that have full communion with the Catholic Church does not mean Catholics. Okay, and so here's another point. Benedict XVI gave communion to the Benedict XVI gave communion to Brother Roger Schütz, non-Catholic leader of a Protestant monastery. What do you say about that?
I've read that stuff.
The pictures of it, it's a fact.
But let's assume it's true. All right, so the Pope
proving that his actions.
No.
Yeah, proving the same thing. You see, what I'm saying to you is you're wrong. It's proving not only that this is what he believes the teaching is, but that he's a heretic as well. And he also afterward gave the speech.
I don't know that that's true, and if it was true, he would be committing.
There are pictures of it.
He would be committing a sin.
We have a picture of it in our book. We have a picture on our website.
Okay, well, fine. So the Pope committed a sin. Popes can do that.
Well, no, but he also after commented on the speech, and he said that Brother Roger, manifest heretic, has arrived at eternal joy.
Okay, maybe he's, you know, I'm sure he is. I have every hope that he's internal joy.
He lived and died in the external form, rejecting the Catholic faith.
But you don't know what happened between his death and his joy.
But the church goes by the external form. And so unless...
You don't make the judgment that he's in hell.
The church considers...
Okay, would you rather have him in heaven or hell?
I would rather him have converted and gone to heaven. But the church goes by the external form, and so unless there's been evidence of conversion in the external form, he's considered to have died as he lived, and that's why the church doesn't give ecclesiastical burial to heretics.
Right, okay, I agree with that.
So that proves that Benedict XVI rejects the traditional Catholic faith on salvation. Yes, it does.
It does not. It does.
But, yeah, I think we've covered some different points here, and I think, but I just wanted to quote this thing again from the Benedict XVI.
Right, well, will you at least agree to an informal discussion on sedevacantism? Because there's a number of points that I'd like to bring up that I
we'll consider discussing some different aspects of.
Okay, but I believe that you're totally not reading number one, the 1917 Code of Canon Law, and Pope Paul IV's papal bull. I totally believe you're totally.
We might be able to discuss it, but I mean. Coming from a person who actually thinks that Vatican II does not allow non-Catholics to receive communion, that doesn't mean too much.
Okay, fine. The guy from Chicago, I mean, I can't believe you would even go with him and not me. I mean, the guy couldn't even tell you what the council when the Council of Nicaea was. Now,
I didn't know that until I got into the discussion with him.
Right, but I mean, you never had any discussions with him before?
No, he wrote in saying that we were loons, and so I said, would you be willing to have a discussion on the phone, and he was. So we saw who was the loon.
And you put that on the, and you, I mean, you had the I mean, come on. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, and this is not a knock.
Well, right. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter who would debate, because the truth cannot be refuted.
Okay, then why won't you admit right here publicly, because this is going to go on the Internet, why won't you just agree to have another discussion on sedevacantism with me?
We might, but we are. It would be rehashing a lot of the same points. You got to let me answer, okay? You asked me a question. All right, and it's something where, and see, some people think that, you know, we're not willing to debate other people, so we're more inclined to debate some other individuals, but the fact of the matter is, like, I just called a guy from another organization, and I wanted to have a discussion with him, and he basically, as soon as I brought this issue up, he hung up the phone. This is a more prominent guy, okay, and see, none of them want to get on the phone. None of them wanted to debate, because it would be the same. They can't refute the arguments. It doesn't matter who you get. The truth is irrefutable. The facts speak for themselves. But it's just a matter of whether a person is honest or not.
I don't think you dealt with properly disposing. Vatican II was clear on what...
Okay, when you go to bed tonight, think about the fact that you're arguing that people who do not have full communion with the Catholic Church actually means Catholics. Okay, think about whether you're safe in your conscience arguing that ridiculous lie.
I think anyone who listens to this, please go back and listen to what the brother's saying. Please read number 25 and number 27 and tell me if in context it doesn't mean properly disposed doesn't mean a profession of the Catholic faith. That's the crux of the argument.
No, because then it would never talk about those who do not have full communion. I mean, come on, William.
25.
And see, that's why apocalypse says that all liars cast out.
Okay, it's clear. You think I'm a liar. Okay, fine. I think you guys are erroneously putting stuff forward. I believe you're...
And also, actually, there's another guy who actually tried to defend this, okay, and he wound up switching his position. At first, he said that it doesn't allow non-Catholics to receive Holy Communion, and then realizing he couldn't get around that one, he started to say, well, it's only in danger of death. Well, I thought you said it doesn't allow it at all. And see, there was a little hint of that in your argumentation today, that you started to say, well, danger of death, danger of death. Well, your argument is it doesn't allow it at all, so it doesn't make any difference.
No, it does not.
You would admit that if it said even danger of death, that a non-Catholic, a person who actually was not in full communion with the Catholic Church.
The reason why it says they're not in communion is because they come forth, they come to the priest not in communion because they haven't made the profession of faith yet. And that is what...
No, it's talking about...
If you read 25, it says that.
25 is not where it talks about this issue. 27
is... Okay, again, just... you know, there's a difference between properly disposed and faith in those sacraments, or else properly disposed means nothing. I think it's ludicrous your argument about, well, the priest has to have some knowledge that the person's not totally immoral. Well, I don't see how the priest could even know that.
William, who is it giving communion to? The answer is those who do not have full communion with the Catholic Church. There you go. That's that simple. But I think we've covered this issue. I was going to stop this recording now.
No problem.